Run the track!
Welcome to Foster's Podcast.
Oh, no!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world-famous Foster the Podcast. This is the official show of stand-up comedian Justin Foster and professional life coach Christy Marie Royster. Every week, we bring to you the craziest stories, the best interviews, pop culture news, also dating and relationship advice. Brand new episodes every Monday, available on iTunes. Subscribe to us on iTunes, search for Foster the Podcast on there. Also, check out our website, fosterthepodcast.com, where you can download past episodes. You can email Christy and I and donate to the show. Also, for my stand-up tour dates, visit my website, justincomic.com. And now, enjoy this week's episode.
Welcome to Foster the Podcast, episode 195.
We're almost there.
We're almost there. I don't know what happens at 200, but we're almost there.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be amazing.
I think we start making money at 200, right? Isn't that what they say?
Sure.
You don't sound very optimistic about that.
I'm going to send that Bitcoin.
Oh, man. Yeah, episode 195 of Foster the Podcast. Ken Gar is my November co-host.
Doing it. Hey, guys.
I know November ends next week, but you want to do one more with me?
Sure.
You don't sound too.
No, I do, yeah.
Such a podcast slut.
I do. That's just a
whore.
Are you spreading yourself too thin?
Pouring around.
No, I have so much to share with the world, so much knowledge in this head.
Do one more week with me.
I'll do it.
I've had so much fun this month.
I've had a great time.
All right, thank you.
What has made him so much fun this month? I want to know.
It seems the guest has become the master. Our guest, by the way.
Yeah, will you introduce our guest before?
Guys, Bridget, it's Fettesy, right?
Yeah.
Bridget Fettesy, I was getting it wrong. Bridget Fettesy is our guest today. Bridget is the Playboy advisor. So she writes columns for Playboy, amazing columns. Check them out.
Yeah.
At playboy.com.
Which we're definitely going to talk about some of those today.
Also a very, very funny stand-up comedian. And we've known each other for 3 years almost, two and a half, 3 years.
Mm-hmm. She is a very funny comic. We did a show together. I guess it was last year. We did a show in Marina
at the bar?
Del Rey.
Oh,
we
yeah,
did a bar
that
show.
That was a fun show.
And it was like nine sober comics on the bill.
In a bar, though.
Yeah, and the host was like, Jesus, how many of you guys
just know? Eight jugs of coffee. Everyone just hugging after sets.
We were all doing jokes about being sober. He was like, what the hell?
The bar made $5 that night.
We're all sold out of water.
Yeah. Do you guys have chicken strips? That's like, a sober comic who walks into the bar, do you guys have a food menu?
Yeah.
Oh, and then we went and got ramen afterwards, which was also very, that was fun.
That was a good time. So we,
that ramen place is the best.
You know what's so funny? Like, being from Texas, like, I never ate sushi. I never ate ramen. I'm not blaming that on the South. I was just, I was like steaks and cheeseburgers. So, like,
barbecue.
Moving out here, like, that was probably the second time I had had ramen in my entire life. So I'm still, everything's still new
so
to
good.
Me. Yeah.
I can't get over the price.
Really?
It's
too much for 13, soup?
13, 14 bucks for soup.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's a meal inside of the soup, but I'm just like.
It's so comforting, though. I think you're paying for the feeling of, like, just, you know what I mean? Like, you're paying for.
I think pizza's comforting, too. And I can pick up two of them for $5.99 at Domino's. Little Caesar's got it hot and ready right now.
With this weather, though, this is perfect, like, ramen and pho weather,
oh,
dude.
Yeah.
Did you know I saw a, if people that aren't listening, or people that are listening that don't live in Los Angeles, we had a rainstorm last night.
I know.
And traffic accidents went up 590%.
Whoa. That's why, yeah. So, as your listeners know, I'm not only an extraordinary comedian and actor, but I also do Uber.
To right. Thank you for your
bills.
Service.
Yeah. Well, I didn't do it last night.
Oh, you didn't?
Oh, no. Uh-uh. Because I knew that the idiots were going to be out. They can't handle the driving. And what people understand is because it doesn't rain
exactly
a lot,
it's like
all
black
of that
ice.
Oil is caked on the pavement, and now it all comes up.
Right.
I'm dealing with months and months of caked on oil.
It becomes
it's just become very slick.
And actor tears.
And broken dreams.
Broken dreams.
Just really caked on to the
sliding all over the place.
Especially outside all the casting studios.
Just cars sliding on scripts that didn't get greenlit.
No, that was really good. We'll be in touch.
Outside all the agencies.
The There's seven dead people outside of CAA.
The big agency.
I flew into that shit last night, dude.
Oh, yeah?
How was that? It was
You're
not
a nervous
fun.
Flyer,
I'm not a great flyer, and I flew into it. It was one of those flights where it's like rain, clouds, oh, runway, shit, we're landing.
Yeah.
It was terrifying. But we got out of Bob Hope, and literally 30 seconds outside of the airport, there was a car that had just slammed into a light post.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe it, dude.
It was insane. But what were we talking about before we went on that little tangent?
Well, let me remind you, Bridget was asking what's so great
that's what it was.
About me, about having me as your co-host on this. And
other than his ability to maintain a train of thought,
yeah.
Clearly.
That's what I love, though, about Ken, because he starts – so I've been traveling a lot this month. This has been like an insane humble brag, but I've been gone – I've only been in town Mondays of this month, and we record Monday.
Yeah.
And so
are you doing comedy?
Doing comedy, yeah. Okay. Doing stand up.
Not
so,
just like selling vacuum cleaner.
It's just a hitchhiking tour.
I Uber a lot.
Where are you headed? Milwaukee? Oh, this is going to be.
Yeah. So I've come in on Monday and it's just been exhausted and worn down and traveling. And Ken's really stepped it up and helped carry, you know, he hasn't let the ball drop on any episode.
Oh.
And he starts multiple threads of conversation, which has been, it's been really nice for me because my brain is fried.
Kept to keep it fun and loose.
Yeah. Ken is the caffeine to my subdued behavior this month.
Oh, yeah. It's been fun.
But so I'm not a great flyer. And so yesterday we flew from Wisconsin to Vegas.
Uh-huh.
Right, which was – it was okay. And then changed planes and went from Vegas. And I don't know if you've flown. Vegas to L.A. is not – Vegas to Burbank is not fun without thunderstorms.
No.
Just because you're right over the mountains the entire
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
And so that plus the – you know.
And they stay low, I feel like.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like
well,
an up and
it's
down
not
flight.
Long, yeah.
No, it's a 45-minute
yeah.
flight, so you don't get high enough. But you're like –
you're like 10,000 feet.
Yeah, you're barely cruising over mountains, and now you're just getting blasted with rain.
I love the energy of – Wisconsin to Vegas flight.
Dude,
like the energy on those flights.
Oh, yeah. Anything
especially
to
with
Vegas.
Like people from the Midwest headed to Vegas, they
yep.
have all these like,
yep.
this is going to be the shit.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And then like 3 days into Vegas, we're like, can we just go home?
Can we go home?
Yeah.
I just want to see
you know?
My family. Yeah. Yeah. The best was flying from Vegas to Burbank yesterday on a Sunday.
Because
all the weekend warriors that had partied all weekend that were coming. And everyone was shit-faced.
Oh, yeah.
The entire flight was hammered. There was a dude in the back of the plane. Literally, he goes, hey, we want some pussy. It's like, there's children on this flight. I'm sitting there shaking, and the world is crumbling, and he's singing.
Oh, he did not want his Vegas trip to end.
Dude, it was so funny. Everyone's shit-faced. There was a dude in the row next to me. He was nodding off into his dip cup.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Just
people
the most...
still use dip.
Yeah. Oh. Super redneck. Just,
wow.
You could tell he'd been up for days.
Oh, man.
I,
when we were in Vegas, when I was like, I don't know, it's probably 8 years ago. It was like that year that they did Vegas. It was kind of it was a music festival in the desert. It was
uh-huh.
the same people who do Outside Lands, and 5 out of 6 of the people missed their planes, and
right.
I didn't miss my plane because I drove. I was the only one who didn't, and it
right.
was only because I drove.
'Cause you had
and
no
it
plan.
Was the most hellish drive back to.
Oh yeah,
LA. Just so demoralizing. I don't care. It
yeah.
was the worst.
There's a lot of time to think those 4 hours driving from
yeah.
from the desert
a
back
music,
to LA.
I'm glad they only did it one. I think they did it 1 or 2 years, like a music festival in. So you have the music festival, which will kill you anywhere
right.
it is all day, and then Vegas all night. It was mental.
Right,
was, you just didn't stop for 3 days.
I entered the world of sobriety as well, and it was coming off of a Vegas trip.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I've been sober 74 days.
You
now.
Haven't drank in 74 days?
No.
Kid.
Yeah, man.
Congratulations.
That's what 7 days or 8 days in Vegas to do to you.
Oh God.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
was just,
7 or 8 days?
Yeah. Well, I performed there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I drank every day of the week that week.
Yeah.
And then you know, kind of hit my rock bottom. And I drove home, and it was Memorial Day weekend. And because of the traffic was so bad, it was a 5.5 hour drive.
Yeah.
Usually like a 3.5-4 hour drive.
Yeah.
It was 5.5 hour. I think almost close to 6. And I didn't put my radio on for the first like 3.5 hours.
Just,
I was like,
just
basking thought. And I'm like, oh, this isn't good. I'm stewing in this thought process.
Who needs Spotify when I
yeah.
have these horrible voices in my head?
And I was like, you know what? I'm like, it's time. I'm like, I'm going to quit drinking. And then I got home. put my bag in my room, open my fridge, and there was a six pack there. I'm like, no, we'll drink this first.
Tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow. Yeah.
We'll start fresh. Yeah. Start fresh on a Tuesday. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. And that was it.
But, that's crazy. I didn't know it had been that long. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Yeah. That's huge.
You sleeping better yet?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sleeping good. It's, really? You know, I, you know what's funny? I've been a professional stand up for 3.5 years now. And before that, I had a full time job and was doing comedy on the weekends. But my insomnia has all gone away since I became a professional comedian.
Oh, wow.
I don't have any issues whatsoever falling asleep. And I used to have huge issues trying to fall asleep. But yeah, as soon as I started kind of like, quote unquote, following my dreams, I don't have problems like that anymore.
Huh.
Yeah. Hmm. And then even like getting sober, it really hasn't affected my sleep at all.
Oh, my God. One of my jokes is quit drinking and never sleep again.
Really?
Oh, wow. See, I was the opposite. The first year, like, I couldn't sleep at all. But then after that, like, as soon as my head touches the pillow now, I go right
to
sleep.
Yeah, it's better. I'm three now, and it's definitely, like, leveled out. But I also am burning a lot more energy during the day, but I have to. But if I don't, like, burn that energy, I'll be up all night.
Yeah. I'm three. I'll be three next month.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations. So.
Mm-hmm. I've definitely made that drive from Vegas to L.A. just thinking about – dude, I've thrown up in that desert so many times.
Dude, that's my favorite part of driving home. Is just see the cars pulled over and people quote unquote checking their tires.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I made a lot of apology phone calls on that drive back. Oh, dude, I'm sorry about whatever happened.
And this was funny. Like, you know, I was talking to somebody about getting sober the other day, and I'm like, you know, I've never had anybody call me up and be like, dude, you were awesome last night. You were wasted, and we all enjoyed it thoroughly. Yeah. You never get those reverse phone calls thanking you for having been so shit-faced that you made the party a delight for all of them.
Dude, you were so good at that wedding.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I mean, the way that you broke grandma's hip twirling her on the dance floor after we told you how fragile she was. That was really cool. Really amazing.
Oh man, I was that's so funny. I was in the Midwest all week. I was in Iowa.
Oh yeah.
For most of the week, and dude, I had the best worst experiences one night that I was out there.
Okay.
So we're doing the Hard Rock in Sioux City, dude. It's like sold out. There's like 600 people there. I'm super excited.
Yeah.
And like literally right before I go on stage, I get a phone call. It was my dad. It's like, hey, your grandmother passed away.
Oh no.
Yeah. Isn't that brutal? Right when I walk in.
It's his mom.
Did you open with that?
I closed with it. But it's like my last grandparent.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. It sucked.
Yeah.
But then I went on stage. But it's like one of those deals, like when something bad happens, like right when you have to put on that happy face. It was like one of the best sets I'd ever had.
Of course. Yeah, because it's all emotion at that point.
Yeah. I was all emotion. It was like, well, I'll cheer these people up because I'm sad.
So I'm dead inside right now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But it was one of the best shows I ever had. But afterwards, dude, we had podcast listeners come out.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
that's awesome.
They came out in Iowa, and they had brought a sandwich bell.
Oh, that's awesome.
They brought
a
bell to the show. Did it made my night.
Oh, yeah.
How cool is that?
That's so really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So shout out to Michelle and Allison who came out in Iowa.
Oh, Michelle and Allison.
Thanks for listening.
And they brought a bell. They stole it from a Starbucks in the office that they work at.
You just ratted them out.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, they said they were going to return it after the show.
Good.
But they said they were trying to ding it during my set.
Oh, that's so
funny.
But
I guess they had it in her lap, so it like muffled it.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, I would have lost my mind if I would have heard that.
Guys, it's an art, all right? it's the art of the bell. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, so that was really cool.
Yeah. Well, that's always weird as performers, like, you know, because it's, you know, a very emotional and you're very vulnerable on stage and you're really putting yourself out there. And so for something like that to happen right before a show, it's like, you know, Brett Favre's dad died right before a game. And I'm like, oh, I hate to be that defense.
Right.
And he put up like 400 yards and five touchdowns.
Yeah.
Like everyone's walking on the field like, oh, man, his dad died today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In any sort of entertainer, like we don't have the luxury of like being sad.
No.
You have to go out there and perform.
It's funny. My sister's like, watch the Katy Perry documentary. And I was like, well, I don't give a shit. But I did one night when I was like just laid up and feeling kind of blue. And there's this scene at the end where it's like she's been on tour. She's breaking up with that guy, Russell Brand.
Yeah.
And she's broken. Like she couldn't get out of bed. You could see that she was going through just like heartbreak and not to mention all the attention that she gets anyway. And she's like, bent over, just like sobbing, heaving, sobbing, crying. And then she like puts her shoulders back and shakes her head and lifts up to like this crowd of 60,000 people in Rio or something. And it's, I mean, it gave me chills because I was like, that's what separates the men from the boys and the people. Like, the show must go on. You have to like shake that shit off and do your job.
Mm-hmm. I performed the day I got divorced. And I knew I had, like, I had to get on stage because I knew.
How was that show?
It was it was great. because you're so raw, you're so honest. And I got on stage, and it was an open mic, but you know, it was in Chicago, and they're like, do as much time as you want. I walked in, I was drinking at the time, and I go, I gave the bartender my keys. I was like, don't give these back to me. My oldest brother was there to support, and I told the audience, I go, you have two choices. I go, I'm a Vegas national headliner guy. I go, I can do that act. I go, or I could talk about my divorce today. And everyone was like, divorce.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? And it was funny because, you know, you're riffing.
Right.
But like, and this was a real thought. I got to the parking lot at the courthouse. I got out of my car. I looked around the parking lot and I go, I should have tailgated this motherfucker. I should have had all my friends and family here, cook some steaks up. Like, it would have just drove my wife out of her mind.
Right.
You know what I mean? Walk up, like, her parents are there, like, well, he cooks good steaks. What do you want to do?
You're grilling hot dogs.
But that was my first thought, just looking around, like, I should have put a tailgate on this thing, you know?
Oh, Team Gart.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I performed after a bad breakup one night, and that was not a fun
No?
No.
Oh, man.
No. I felt like I should apologize to the audience after. Sorry, I was working through some stuff. You know, I showed up, I drank a half a bottle of scotch. I don't even drink scotch.
You're like, any couples here tonight? Well, fuck you, man.
Go fuck yourself. I throwed up that night wine, scotch, and Red Bull. Which
trifecta.
I see why she left. This makes sense.
Yeah, it goes both. It either goes like one way where you just kill, or it goes that other direction. Right. I did a set at the Comedy Store. It was the last time I was probably really madly in love with this married guy who was there with like 12 of his friends.
Uh-huh.
And they kept bumping me because it was one of those shows.
Sure.
And they're like, we're going to bump you. And I kept drinking. I was drinking at the time. And
right.
By the time I got up, I was so nervous and so drunk and so kind of just like broken from like it was all, I get up, I blank completely. And I was like, I'm cold and afraid. Still one of my favorite opening lines like, it was a shit show. My friend who was there I was blacked out. I was like coming in and out of brownout. And I didn't remember anything. I got musicked but the guy was mad at me because, before the show, the guy who booked it was like trying to hit on my friend, and then my friend rejected him, and so he was going to take me off the show.
Yeah.
So the married guy called him, was like, you can't fucking do that, which I don't know why he did that. He was like white knighting or whatever.
Sure.
And so the guy who ran the show already had this like vendetta against me.
Yeah.
So I got up there, did 2 minutes of blankness.
And they played the music.
And then they played the music. I don't think I got on stage for like a year. I was so traumatized.
Dude came out with a broom.
I was traumatized.
That's a rough one.
I left the country. I think I got on stage like again. It was like out of the country, but it was so mortifying.
God. It was a different name.
My friend said, he's like, it was like that. Who's the Andy? The crazy drunk? Like I can't.
Kaufman?
Maybe. No, not Andy Kaufman.
Oh, Andy Dick.
Maybe Andy, someone. He was saying that it was like, he was there. He's like, oh man, Bridget. But he said, it's not the people that get up when they do well. It's the people who get up after a set like that.
Yeah,
that, like,
right.
Again,
go across the
separates.
Country.
Yeah. Maybe separates. Get a passport and try it over.
You ever, like, skip time zones.
Hey, Australia. Yeah. How are you tonight?
You ever bob so hard you got to get a new stamp on
your
passport?
Wait, about this one? That's the worst Australian accent.
That was me, basically. I did.
Where did you go perform at?
Where?
When you left the country.
Oh, it was some random place in Australia. I don't even remember where. I was drinking heavily in Australia.
Well,
my
friends
basically made me get up because I was telling them that story, and they were like, you're getting up. And so it did get me back on the horse. It was some mic, and it might have been at a mic. I don't know. I honestly can't even remember. It was like 4 years ago.
It's like right after Goose dies. Get him back in the
plane.
You know
I mean? Still get a knot in my stomach thinking about that set, though. Oh.
Is it recorded anywhere?
I don't think so. I wish
it
was.
Justin, do you have a set that you can go back to that you're like, gives you anxiety or gives you a knot?
Yeah, I have a few, but I was drinking so much during those sets, sure, that it's like
numbs it.
It's pushed down deep somewhere, okay, that one day I'm sure that'll have to come up. I know that I did a show one time.
You'll just be at Olive Garden one day and start crying. Oh, like, God. It's here. It's surfaced.
I remember I did a contest one time and I had to go up last. I wasn't in the contest. So people performed in this contest, and then I had to close the show, yeah, while everyone was A, voting for their favorite, B, paying their checks.
Yep.
See, the lights were on, they were mingling, and I had to do 25 minutes, and I'm hammered.
Yeah.
And I am bombing so hard,
yeah,
that I sit down. I just took a knee.
Yeah.
I just took a knee.
Kaepernick.
I just sat on the stool. Like, was like,
no one sing.
Guys, I don't know. You know, yeah. I started doing crowd work, and the first guy that I looked to, I wanted to talk to. I said, so what do you do? And he did like the
don't
move
talk
on.
To me.
Yeah, like, yeah, you're not dragging, yeah, me, yeah, down. Dude, the mayor was there. Yeah. Like, I bombed in front of the mayor.
Oh, yeah. That's so funny.
It was so bad. I closed the show because my buddy was also on the show, and I go, thanks, guys. I've been Tone Bell. You guys have been a lot of fun. Tone's in the back going, ah! It was a fucking beating, though. I had to take a knee.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I had to take a knee.
That happens, man. I had one where it was a black room, and I've done hundreds. You know, I'm very comfortable in any type of room. But they had they started it an hour and 45 minutes late.
That's weird.
Because they were waiting for a birthday party of 20 to show up.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Then they had, we got a quick guest spot. She's going to do 10, and she did 45.
Oh, yes. That's weird.
So now we're four
also
hours.
Weird.
Yeah. We're 4 hours into the show,
sure,
at this point.
Yeah.
And now comes white boy with the shaved,
oh,
head.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I tried like a little bit of, you know, wake him up a little bit of energy. Yeah. There's a couple girls up front, and I started like, hey, let's, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding you. It was utter silence. I was supposed to do like 45. I did 30 because at this point you're just like,
yeah,
there's nothing. This is uncomfortable for everybody,
yeah,
involved.
Yeah.
And I walk up to the producer, and like, you could tell he was about to say something, but the look on my face is like, why don't we just hand me the money?
Right.
And we're going to move on.
Yeah.
Because it was just a poorly produced show.
Right.
You know, but, you know, there's only so much as comedians that we can do, you know, whether we're dealing with a heckler or whether we're,
yeah,
dealing with a rowdy crowd. There's only so much we can do.
Yep.
And after a while, an audience gets tired, you know. And,
oh,
and now,
yeah,
3/4 of the audience had already been there for an hour and a half,
yeah,
waiting for a show. And then these 20 people show up late.
And then you start the show for
them.
You
know, and the producer's, yeah, like, well, what should I do? I'm like, dude, the flyer says 8 o'clock. Start the show.
Yeah.
When they show up, they'll show up.
They'll,
you know,
still get some of the show. Yeah.
Oh, man. Brutal, though.
It's like the fourth time I ever did comedy. This reminds me. This was another time that I was like, I should quit while I'm ahead. I did I was working with a girl, and we went to, you made me think of this, where it was like just one of these weird things. It was like a contest. So, uh-huh, this girl went to the anime convention that I was working with, and she made me dress up and go with her. And I was like, okay, fuck it. I know nothing about anime, mind,
sure,
you, at all. Nothing. Other than like hentai, that's all I know.
Uh-huh.
And so
you got a costume?
I dressed up. I don't even know what I was. I wasn't, okay, anything specifically. I was like showing my butt. I'm like supposed to be like a life coach, and she like
I'm
went off.
A sexy anime character.
There are like pictures of me like showing. I look back on it. I'm like, what was I doing?
Now, were you drinking at the time?
Yeah, but I wasn't drinking then because,
right,
I was driving her, and so we went, and she's like, oh my God, there's a last comic standing. You should totally do this. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. She's like, yeah, I'm your boss, technically, and you have to do this. So I went and I did it. And it was like 3 minutes
outfit?
In my outfit.
Okay.
But I looked like one of them. I'm only telling this,
yeah,
because,
yeah,
it's like, so I do this 3 minutes, and it's like, Bridget is not responsible for your boner. I had only done stand-up twice. I had 10 minutes all about my porn addiction. That's it. I had no other material.
Wow.
I had never, someone dared me to do stand-up. I did it once. It was terrifying. I did it again. It was like really good. And then this was the third time. Mind you, there were like 300 people at this convention center, which was like 10 times more,
sure,
than I'd ever,
yeah,
performed,
oh,
in,
yeah,
front.
300
so
might be
I was 3, petrified
at that point.
Yeah.
By the way, so they passed me on to the finals. I don't know why. They just needed girls, I think,
oh,
you know? And I my stuff about the, hentai, my jokes about hentai were like killing in that audience.
And let's be honest, anime fans also probably enjoy porn.
Exactly.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So then they're
bring
like,
the girl
you made
with the butt back.
So they brought me back to the finals, and I was like driving down. I wore my like black leather pants. I dressed kind of normally, and like in my Eddie Murphy female outfit,
right?
And black boots. And I was like, oh, I made myself one promise: just get through my set. And we had to do 9 minutes,
oh, wow.
And there were 10 of us. I go show up at the Comic-Con Center. And there's 2,000 people for the finals.
Wow.
I walk in. I was like, holy shit, how many people are here? And he's like, do you really want to know? I was like, no, I don't. I went ninth, which, as you know, is one of the worst spots before.
Yeah.
The like, every single comic that, this was during the World Cup. I was probably like, I guess, 6 years ago then, probably.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's about right, 2010. So, they, like, every comic, it was when they had all those, like, vuvuzelas. Do you remember those things that made the, like, buzzing noise?
Yeah, yeah,
so, everyone there had them. And people were getting up, and they were doing 9 minutes, and they're like, and then Golgamore came out, and then Zazabon, and everyone was, like, screaming, and it sounded, I was like, I am
they
fucked.
They all end their sets by crowd surfing.
Just no, I spoke none of this language. I'm like, I'm fucked. There were judges. There were three judges or something like that. So I get up and I just do my set. And it's online. I'm pretty sure you can find it because I can't get them to take it off.
We're doing it. Yeah.
We're
I had no control over it. And so
you
I just.
So bad. Please take this down.
I couldn't watch it until a year ago. And I actually watched it and I was like, considering that it was my fourth time doing stand up and
right.
there were,
right.
and I remember getting on stage and I mean, I must have learned like 1,000 lessons in that one set.
Yeah.
Because I stood on stage and there were just all these like blinking eyes. I just remember the CEO
you
blinking.
Can hear the blink.
I could.
The moisture of the eyes.
It's like
you can hear the vibrating ring in someone's cell phone.
Yeah. I had never done anything.
Oh.
I just had my memorized set. That was it. And so it was, my friend was like, it was more like boxing, like when she was describing it, because I would just tell a joke and like circle back around and then just hit them with another joke. Like, no matter what the response was. And I realized that I should have been saying what I was thinking, because all of a sudden I was just like standing there and I got wet, like aroused.
Okay.
In the middle of my set, when I kind of, you see me like blank a little, and it's because I was like, oh my God, I'm turned on by how much power I have. Because girls up front were booing, and then guys were cheering, and everyone was, I looked like the girl, like the cool girl that had like snuck into the nerd convention, which I wasn't the cool girl ever in my life.
Right.
But because I wasn't like, I snuck in with my costume, and then it looked like, and I don't know anything about, I mean, they saw right through me. They were
right.
like, this girl doesn't know. And the porn and convention was like a month later, and one of the judges was like, I think you're a week early with your set. And they were like, we would have liked to see more jokes about anime. And it was like, again, I was I don't think I slept for like three days after that.
That's a tough situation for anybody.
Yep.
But I did get through it.
Yeah.
I got through it. That was my only promise.
Right.
Get through the set.
She left the country immediately after.
Right. Yeah.
Did another set.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to change my panties and get out of here.
Yeah. I learned too. If I'm thinking, I should be talking.
Yeah.
That was like the biggest lesson I learned from that. I'll never forget it. Where if I just abandoned the set, and I was too new to be comfortable doing that.
Sure,
yeah,
you don't have a backup set at that point.
Or even know how to get back to it.
Right.
It was just, oh,
is that
God.
Something that still plagues you, is the porn addiction?
Not so much, although like ever since I quit having sex like 8 days ago, I've definitely noticed an uptick in my...
What's with all the sobriety in the studio today?
I know.
So
I'm quitting everything.
Yeah.
The next logical thing is life.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, don't say that.
Booze, sex, life.
Yeah.
That's it. That is the order.
Bridget and I are starting a podcast together, and it is called Benched. So Bridget and I have very similar backgrounds. We're both divorced. Me recently sober.
Mm-hmm.
Bridget's sober for a few years now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're dating in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to date. Yeah, we're trying to date in Los Angeles. And so we've got a great podcast that we're going to be starting and launching in December. We hope that you guys will listen in. The best way to kind of get news on it is to follow me on Twitter and follow Bridget. I'm at comedian Ken Garr, and we'll.
So you guys gonna just talk about your dating stories?
Yeah, I mean the first couple episodes, we just kind of wanted the audience to get to know us. We recorded them already. And
give me an example. I know some of yours. Give me. Do you have any examples that you can give us? We do a lot of dating relationship stuff on this show.
Oh God, I was talking about like how I had one of the worst dates ever a year ago, and it was really like the last because I feel like I tend to be. I don't date so much, which is why I'd like to go on dates, but I hate first dates. I hate them. And then there's been this guy in my life since like 2008, I would guess, called the Dark, we'll just call him the Dark Lord. That's like his self-proclaimed nickname. And we went on a date. We hadn't seen each other in a while, and he took me on a date to where we went on our first date. And he got really drunk, and I wasn't drinking. This was like a year ago around Christmas. And he was like, we walked in, and there were two Muslims. I'd never seen the side of him. Like, I always knew he was like intolerant of just everything, like birds chirping and dogs panting and shit like that. Right. Just like a really rich dude who just can't handle when the world doesn't. I just thought he was rich. I didn't know he was racist, too.
Right.
So we went into the restaurant, and there were two Muslims in like their head scarves. Sure. And he's like, no, I don't want to sit in here. And I was like, whoa, what the fuck? And then there was a table of huge, like a big birthday party, and they were all black. And he was like, I was like, we're sitting. He's like, is there? I'm like, ah, like I stopped him because I knew where he was going. I was like, we're going to take that table. That table's fine. And that from there on out, it just like went downhill. He was mean to the waitress. He was.
That's racist and rude to the racist, rude to the waitress is two like huge red flags.
Yeah. Then he goes on this drunken tangent about how he doesn't think that I'm gonna be able to ingratiate myself to the West Side moms. He's like, "Are you gonna be able to ingratiate yourself to all the West Side moms so that we can get our kids into like the right preschools?" I'm like, I'm not gonna ingratiate myself to these douchebags like for a hypothetical kid. Right. What are you even fucking
talking about?
He's already
planning a family.
Yeah, but it was all just so like it was intense. And I remember sitting there, and it was different. This was one of the first like dates I'd always been drinking with him. And so it's weird when you're suddenly with somebody that you've been like drinking with. Yeah. And then now suddenly I'm dead sober. And I was like, did I fucking just like put up with this?
Yeah.
And not even notice it because I was just like getting drunk and smoke whatever. And I guess I did. I guess I just like let him bully me and demean me and people around me. And when that's the kind of shit that like, when I really have moments where I want to drink again because I'm nervous on a first date,
right.
I'll think of that date and be like, no, it blinds you to a lot of shit. A lot.
Yeah, it's weird. You run into that person that you've known for something. Like, oh, you're kind of a piece of shit.
Oh, my God,
I was just loaded the entire time.
That's how I ended up married.
Right. Well, who knew the Dark Lord wasn't
a
stand-up dude?
Plus, self-proclaimed Dark Lord.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's the nickname he gave himself.
Oh, God, that's even worse.
This isn't like a fun nickname around your girlfriend. You can call me DL, but I prefer Dark Lord.
Yeah, he gets mad at me, though, for calling him that now. And I'm like, you still, like, that was the name you gave yourself. He's like, really? I don't think so. I was like, I wouldn't have given you that name.
So that's combined, Bridget and I have, you know, years and years of dating experience, marriage experience. So our podcast is really about, you know, getting out there. It's for people that are married, people that are divorced.
Anyone, really.
Yeah.
I feel like, and we had a guest last week, and we're having Baron Vaughn on this week.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we're going to have, like, you are more than welcome to come on. And so we just started by telling where we were and having, like, little challenges. I was trying to be celibate for like 90 days, and I kept like every week it was like I lasted three days.
Some rough spots there.
It's like kid with his beer. All right, tomorrow. Tomorrow. I got home, there was dick in the fridge.
Yeah.
I'll start tomorrow.
It's very therapeutic and natural. It's fun to have people on, and then we kind of catch up about like where, you know, we'll all check in and then make the guests check in. And
sure.
I think it really is just about dating or relationships or set whatever.
Yeah.
But those things that
our first guest was my ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah
that was cool.
The millionaire, Shannon.
She came on?
She's a millionaire?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You blew it.
Yeah,
you
yeah. No,
I didn't know that.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Is she like a YouTube self-made?
No, no. Through like she got divorced. She was married to a Wall Street guy. They got divorced and she got half his shit.
How long are you gonna try to be celibate for?
I'd like to go 90 days. Just and you know, my therapist and I were talking about this, and she's like, "Well, why are you doing that?" And I was like, "Because I never really tried, and just the fact that it took me like I could, like I texted him yesterday. I'm like, I made it a week,
yeah. Right?
And the fact that it's been that hard for me to make it a week shows me that something's going on there. And also, she was just saying, you know, whenever people do this, it's interesting to see. What comes up and where that energy goes, like sure. That extra creative energy, where mm-hmm. what you can do with it, and it takes, like I think you were saying, that it just when you did something similar and it just yeah. took that off the table, so you're not even looking,
right?
You're just, it's not even something, like I know that like my antenna are always up, my radar is like always up for dick. I was trying to find a polite way.
The dick antenna.
So I
well,
think
good for
that
you.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I do have to take it. It is like my friend was saying. I was like, I don't know why I did it. I don't know why I slept with them. And she's like, well, why do you? We don't know why we drink either. Sometimes, sure. Sometimes when we're using something to escape, there's not necessarily a reason. It's just like what we do.
Well, yeah, in my experience, you want to feel good as fast as possible.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
is that? I'm uncomfortable, so a drink or a pill or yeah. another person yeah. like takes that. Yeah, it's just trying to escape or whatever it is.
Yeah, and it's. I think it'll be interesting. Even if I'm going on dates, but just not sleeping
sure.
with people
yeah.
for a minute.
There's a lot of first dates you're gonna be going.
Oh, fuck.
Girls gotta eat.
Just to let you know, I'm celibate. We'll take the check, please. Thank you very much. It was very lovely meeting you.
Plus, there's two Muslims here, and we gotta go.
Right. Right, because you work for Playboy too, so they're probably thinking like, oh yeah, this.
Oh
is a
yeah,
sure
I've
thing.
Written about that.
Yeah.
For oh, sure. Right. Yeah.
That's what I thought was funny is like the Playboy advice. The official yeah. Playboy advisor is
celibate.
Don't tell.
Some dude's on a date thinking he hit the jackpot.
He's like, I could really use some advice.
I heard you were addicted to porn.
Yeah,
I get that a lot. I mean, I get just yesterday I posted it on Twitter. It was like occupational hazards, and it was an email like.
Sure.
I get at least one or two of these a week, and it's just like, want to fuck or. I mean, it's not even like.
Yeah.
No burying the lead, just like in the subject.
Right. It'd be a great guest because I want to really understand the motivation behind somebody
I should.
Sending it. Yeah, you know what?
Yeah, but then you got to put
get
this.
Get stalked yeah, and die. Get,
yeah.
Yeah.
No.
You don't want to do that.
I totally protect you.
How did you start working for Playboy?
I did freelance for them. Mm-hmm. Twitter, really, is okay. how it kind of came about. I was on Twitter. My friend introduced me to the comedy guy mm-hmm. because he's like, oh, you're funny, and I know this guy, and you should pitch to them. And then I pitched something, but then it was more sex and culture. So then they hooked me up with that editor, and then I did like four or five pieces, one up being about my porn addiction, one about how I love giving blowjobs. That was the first one I did for them. I was like, Dad, I have some good news and some bad news. Good news is I'm living my dream and I finally got published after 10 years of trying. The bad news is it's about my love of sucking dick.
I love giving blowjobs.
You're welcome.
Oh, that's funny.
I was like, Dad, I'm giving blowjobs a voice. He's like, okay, all right, I gotta go. I hate you. So then I kept kind of begging my editor for a column, and he was like, no. And I've almost been there a year now, actually, and it was December. Or around this time, he was like, we're thinking of doing some new stuff in the new year. Pitch me, like, five ideas if you had some for a column that you would do weekly. And I did, and then they had me write the first one I officially did for them is like the Just the Tips columnist was Women Date Assholes Because You're a Pussy.
Okay.
One of my personal
that's
favorites.
Great. Yeah, it's a great article. Great. Yeah.
And then after that it's been 1 week. I think I've missed two weeks in like the whole year.
That's
and it
awesome.
Wasn't because it was like we took the weeks off intentionally. It was
right.
like summer break or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, on this show we do a lot of like Christy, my co-host, she just She's on maternity leave right now.
Ah.
But for the last
couple, nuggets.
Yeah, she got two little babies, but we do dating
she
relationship
twins?
Stuff. Yeah, she had
Whoa.
Twins. Yeah.
Pre-me
yeah.
Twins,
no, that would be
yeah.
weird. No, she just had two back to back.
Yeah.
Irish twins.
Been very
yeah,
busy.
Right?
Not
yeah.
impossible.
Yeah. yeah. But so but one of the articles that we pulled for a subject was a while ago, we never got to, was one of yours.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was something I stumbled across. I'm like, this would be a great subject for our show. And then And then I saw your name on it. I was like, oh, that'd be great. And but then so we just hadn't got a time to it. Got time to it. And then when he said that you were coming, I was like, this would be a perfect time to do it. It was about is posting selfies in a relationship. I forgot the actual.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's like posting sexy selfies.
Yes.
Can you post them when you're in a relationship?
That's such a great topic too for conversation. If you're dating someone and the person you're with is posting sexy, I think it would definitely make me uncomfortable for sure.
I feel like it depends. So I go back and forth, and as I did in the article, I think by the end I was like, yeah, I need to like look at myself. I don't think my editor was expecting that. I don't think he or I was really expecting. Sometimes it's like we'll come up with a topic, and then I'm like, all right, I have kind of an idea of where I think I'm going, but then once I actually see the thought through and see both sides of it, I'm like, oh, just kidding. Maybe I do have a problem and I'm an attention whore. But I think that if you are dating somebody that's doing that, like from the get-go, and you know that about them, like Lindsay Paylis, for example, is an Instagram star, and she's huge. And
yeah.
Like, if you start dating Lindsay, I would think that you would kind of...
Right. I think it's more of an exception, though. I think if maybe like
I feel like I if they using, start doing it, yeah. I do it sometimes, not sure. as much, but I feel like if you start doing it once you're in a relationship, like yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Then
yeah.
you're like, what's the problem?
What's right. happening
not
right now?
Enough
right.
attention from me.
If it's the precedent is set, if you're making money posting sexy selfies and that's what you're known for, but if like Martha from accounting, your wife just starts posting
right.
lunch. You're like,
all
right, honey, what are you doing?
Yeah. Well, I think that's especially like maybe you're in a relationship for a few years and all of a sudden that behavior starts. Like I do a joke about I knew my girlfriend was going to break up with me because she started working out. Like there's always telltale signs.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, like I think that's kind of a change in behavior, and that might be a red flag that something's going on in your relationship.
So and when you're wanting validation.
Right.
Yeah, so when you wrote the article, your stance was that you were doing it and someone called you out on it. Is that what happened? We don't have to talk about that if you
no,
don't.
No, I don't even – I honestly – I didn't have time to reread that article. I would have to like I don't even remember it.
But at the end, you came around. It was like a full circle, and you were like, "Yeah."
I remember telling a story. I was telling a story about a guy, and I wish that I had had time to read it honestly, because I've cranked out a lot of these. I honestly can't even remember what like.
Now, what do you think about couples that post a lot of selfies together? Do you think I have a theory that there's a lot of insecurity in that relationship, or even now, especially in the time of social media, there's like, oh, it's Facebook official. And I don't think as grown adults that we need to do that necessarily, but I don't know if I'm the exception or if it's commonplace. Whereas you're kind of like, it's one thing to be like, oh, this is us in Disney World. But like, I see a lot of couples that are like posting every day and throwing it in front of them. And
maybe
they just got out of a long-term relationship and they're in a new relationship and trying to make the ex jealous.
What's that quote that's often misquoted? Like, methinks thou doth protest too much. It's used incorrectly most of the time, but that is how I would use it incorrectly. It's one of those situations where it's like you're just making too big of a deal. I would say this is true.
I am personally?
No.
Oh, you mean the couples?
The couples. I would say this is true from anyone from celebrities on down to like normal people on Facebook. When you see that, like, it's almost like you're trying to sell this relationship too hard that I'm like, I'm not buying it.
Right.
There's something. Why do you need to sell this to us? So, or who are you trying to sell it to, yourself?
Right.
And there's something about that with selfies. I've gone on like a massive 10-year journey with selfies and how I feel about them, because on one hand, I feel that I started taking pictures of myself before selfies were like a real thing, because I had like image.
She's OG IG.
Yeah.
It's just her with a Polaroid camera.
It was. Literally Polaroids. I have
them. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Let me sketch this out real quick. Yeah. Sorry.
And so, and just like normal cameras, and I have those pictures where, but I was trying to, it was me falling in love with myself to a certain extent of like being okay with my body. And I didn't, so I have a, and then you, then I used it to like push buttons because I knew it was annoying people on social media. And then I saw it as it, of course, I'm sure there was some, like validation, but I don't like it when people are like, oh, you look so hot. I'm like, I don't need that.
Right.
I don't. So then it's like, now I feel like I've come more full circle to like, I don't want to do any of it really.
Yeah.
So you think at first it was a to get that validation attention, and now that you're comfortable with yourself and who you are?
No, I think at first it was to get the validation from myself.
Okay.
And then I think coming full circle, I realized that it was, again, more focused on physicality. And now I would say that I'm on another level of, that was when I was maybe like 23, 24, 25, like those years. And then now the 10 years I've been online doing it, I think now it's more coming to terms with aging.
Sure.
Aging in Hollywood.
Sure.
And realizing that I need to be just okay having injuries, feeling like I injured my shoulder and couldn't do yoga. And all of a sudden I was like, whoa, I have massive like body dysmorphia and body image issues that I didn't even know I had.
Mm-hmm.
That I was hiding behind like tons of yoga and tons of being able to work out. And then injuries for like 2 years and being sober and all of this stuff coming up with that, where I'm like, I feel just not like realizing that even still I'm not really as comfortable in my own skin as I would like to be. You don't need to be like one of these people who are like body positivity online. I think most women really wrestle with like body image on some level, no matter what size you are.
Sure. Wow.
Skinnier. So
that's super interesting.
Yeah.
That's a great take on it, because I never saw the other side of that.
Yeah, I think it's definitely. And then, so then the selfies that took, that were part of like the evolution of loving myself, became part of this thing where I was like, oh, do I love myself though?
Right.
It kind of like came, crept into the middle. Yeah. And then it started revealing the places where I didn't love myself, because I started noticing that if I was feeling ugly or periody or whatever, I wouldn't post as many. And I'm like, it shouldn't matter. Right. You know, like I should post them if I really love myself. Like I shouldn't need a filter. I shouldn't need.
That's super interesting, because you see girls posting selfies online, but you don't know the psychology behind it either. So to hear that other side, because you're like, oh gosh.
I see these guys girls do it too.
Well, yeah, you know? But that's just, you shouldn't. You just shouldn't.
Yeah.
I'm feeling very purity today. Here's me at the gym.
I would agree.
Yeah.
All right, but we're right out of time. I do want to talk about, you said, I was asking you earlier some of your favorite articles, and you said one of them that you wrote was that you were addicted to sexting.
Yeah.
Is that still a thing for you? How did that article become?
I feel like I'm an autistic kid with the addictions. Like, you know, they like latch onto one thing and then they move through it and find another thing to fixate on. I think that's how I am with addictions. It's like, oh, now it's sugar. So, yeah. I mean, I just think that my brain is always gonna. Not lately, it's been kind of run. I'm addicted to more healthy things. Again, that was another one where it's like, why am I doing this? I hate to be like all psychological about all this shit, but it did come back to like, what am I getting from this? How does this make me feel? Is it fun? Which sometimes it is just fun to sex, but sometimes I noticed that I would do it like fire. I mean, at the worst state of it, I was just firing off, and I've been sexting. Like, nothing makes me feel better than like firing off nudie selfies to like people, because I know that they'll get excited, but it's also just like, there's a lot of hypocrisy, I think, from females where they're like, oh, you can't just send a dick pic. And I feel the same way. Like, seeing a dick in the wild is unnerving, but like on your phone, my friends have been like secondhand dick picked, you know, like I'm just eating lunch and like, oh God, Jesus.
Right.
I'm like, it's a nice one though.
It's in my salad.
Come on.
Yeah.
But and men don't care, but like I've had friends where my, like my one friend, he was like, I was picking my phone up from the dinner table, like on a holiday dinner as like my butt picture came in, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not exactly asking permission. I'm like, hey,
yeah,
right.
And that's not, it's like, okay, that I get away with it, but it's not necessarily cool. And
when you write these articles, do people reach out like, hey, I also have a problem with sexting?
Oh, yeah, the sexting one, big time.
Really?
Yeah, lots of people. I was actually really surprised. Some of them definitely strike. Even like last week's where I was talking about like
fucking my way through the election.
That one I was like, holy shit. When I'm getting text messages from friends about, you know, like direct messages and tweets, and just all of a sudden I get bombarded. And the same thing with I don't think people really talk about sexting, because so many people, you know, a lot of these guys on Twitter were like, I'm so glad you wrote that. I've been having issues. I'm married and I love my wife, but I have all these hot chicks that I sexed with.
Yeah.
And
look at that Anthony Weiner, you know.
Yeah. He has a problem.
Yes.
He's got, everyone's so mean. I'm like, he clearly has like a problem. The guy has literally destroyed his life.
Yes.
And the lives of other people.
Yeah.
It's like, it's like laughing at a junkie or
somebody who's
mentally ill.
Yeah.
That's cool though. Who would have thought that you being able to like write these like articles for Playboy could actually like reach, you know, kind of help people and reach out to people? And
definitely. There have been some that have been really informative for me as a woman, where I feel like men get all this shit in this day and age, especially like the white male, you know, but men in general. It's like, oh, you're a guy, what do you know? Like,
right.
And you hear this a lot. And I did the article about balding, for like why I find bald men sexy. And then I interviewed all these men about their stories. High five the two bald guys in the room. And I was moved. And the same thing about the one that I did about performance anxiety, men who have performed. I have been moved to tears by some. And men will write me these long, even like the longest, most heartfelt emails about their story, what it was like when they started losing their hair. And, you know, as I'm reading this, it's like we did a live Facebook live.
Uh-huh.
And we were talking, it's like the stages of grief, you know, these people are. And the performance anxiety, it was things like, oh, I was in a bad accident and I'm like basically paralyzed, and meds are a big one and all these things. And men don't really feel like they can talk about these things as openly. I feel like women are just like blogging about it on Jezebel, you know, and guys don't have that space or that outlet. So when I ask these questions, I get these like novels. They're it's like, oh, thank you, someone actually wants to like listen.
Sure.
So that's been, as a woman, really always kind of feeling like men just, oh, you can pee standing up, like how fucking hard is life for you? But it's hard. The struggle is real.
When I got divorced, I went on Amazon and tried to find as much material as I could, and there was one book written by a dude who wasn't even a therapist in regards to his own divorce, and I downloaded it, but there weren't any resources out there because as men, we don't. My mom was a social worker before she retired, and she counseled abused women, and she realized that no one was counseling the abusers. And so she started a program, and she started counseling abused men who had come from generations of abusers, because that's where the problem was. And obviously, we want to treat social abuse, but you know, if you're not dealing with the guys that are the abusers, so.
Yeah.
It's super interesting.
Yeah. I talk about it a lot, too, just when you look at the numbers. Men are the ones who are not faring well right now. They're the ones who are dropping out of high school earlier. They're the ones who are killing themselves. They're the ones who are, it's like, statistically, men are way more fucked than women at the moment in terms of, like,
I don't want to take credit for this idea, but because people have had this idea before, but you never see like women like mass shooting places.
No.
You know what I mean? It's always like some
straight
like,
white male.
Yeah, some fucked up dude.
With dead eyes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Kind of like Ivan, our sound guy.
Ivan doesn't have dead eyes. He has very stoic, eyes.
It's the name.
He's as Russian as fuck, dude.
Like my ex-husband.
But Well, Bridget, thanks for joining
thanks
us.
Yeah, for good having
thank
me.
You so much, by the way, for standing up for us males.
It's hard in these streets yeah. with straight white males.
We need a
bro.
Voice. We need that's a voice.
Just these, that's just what we need right now, guys.
I feel more confident and overpowered than I have in years. Thank you. Bridget, how can people find, first of all, do your how can people find your social media and then all your articles? How can people?
If you go to my Twitter, Bridget Fetasy, P-H-E-T-A-S-Y, and Bridget, B-R-I-D-G-E-T, at Bridget Fetasy. And then there's a link to my author page right at the top in the bio. And you can go to Playboy. It's just the tips. And in the Playboy Advisor, if you go to Playboy, it's under there. And yeah.
And then we'll put a link to all your social media and the Playboy on our website, fosterthepodcast.com. Ken, you're a comedian, Ken Gar.
Always comedian, Ken Gar. And I'll be, a quick plug, I'll be in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand at Ooh. Brad Garrett's Comedy Ooh. Club December 5th through the 11th. Would love to get you guys out. Bring your bells.
Bring your bells
bring
to
your
see
bells.
Ken in Vegas.
That was easy.
Thanks, Bridget, for coming. I think we learned a lot today. We learned yeah. The kind of the psychology behind the selfie we learned is selfies.
This is the stand up, yeah. the bomb.
yeah. If you bomb, just leave the country. and then be sympathetic to your straight white male today, you guys.
Right? Oh, or we'll kill you all.
shout out to Ivan Ishkov, our wonderful stoic sound guy. Shout out to our Iowa fans that came out. Thanks everybody who tweets at us. And if you guys have a second, go to Fossil Podcast on iTunes and leave us a good review on there. Leave us good stars and write a review. It helps us in the visibility on iTunes. Search for Fossil Podcast on iTunes, fossilpodcast.com for all my tour dates, justincomic.com, and I'm on Instagram at justincomic. Thank you guys so much, and we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to Foster the Podcast.